Welcome and thank you for joining us on the Stay Healthy South Sound podcast, where we want to give you tips on staying healthy and even expose common myths about health and aging so you can enjoy a healthier and active life in the amazing South Sound. Brought to you by Dr. Jennifer Penrose, owner of Penrose & Associates Physical Therapy.
With me today is Hawk Mason. He's a licensed massage therapist here at Penrose & Associates. And thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
We plan to talk today about how massage therapy is a powerful tool to take care of your health and your well-being. So we are excited to hear from Hawk and just dive into a little bit of how massage therapy can help and even what some of the literature out there says and just even our own experiences with clients. So we're going to jump right in. So tell us a little bit about your background. I know you're a military veteran and just how that shaped you and how that helped you get to choosing massage therapy.
Okay. Yeah. I was in the military and I do believe that it was probably the single best thing that actually has happened to me. It gave me a path to focus my life on and taught me how to be respectful around others. And it also gave me the ability to quickly identify a problem, form a plan of action, and which works well in massage when you think about it, especially dealing with people with injuries. It also allows for me to quickly build a trusting relationship, which is good for a session for everybody to be comfortable within the session. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's great. And how about, I think you said something to me that you did work with people with physical and mental disabilities in your past. Do you want to elaborate on that and how that kind of also shaped you wanting to help others?
Yeah, so I actually grew up in an adult foster care home. So as a little kid growing up, I had chores just like everybody else. So one of my chores was just like helping the residents up to the dinner table, setting them down, and then just like taking them back to their chairs. And I really think that at a young age, that kind of like helped me solidify like where I was going to be in life as far as helping people. It kind of like ingrained in me that I wanted to help people, like, overall. Just in that environment, it kind of, like, molded me into helping people. And then I got certified by the state to help them, like, take them out on outings to, like, museums, parks, movies, just anywhere to get out into the community. Because I realized at a very young age that movement is life. And it's so helpful to the body. Like, it really is. And I think that's kind of how it led me to becoming a massage therapist, is because traditionally, I didn't like grow up thinking I wanted to be a massage therapist. It's not like the thing, like, you grow up and you're like, I want to be a massage therapist. It kind of led me to that path of, I know I wanted to help people, and I know that certain paths were like nursing, physical therapy, and other routes like that, but those paths, when I went into them, I really wasn't connecting with them right away. So I kind of went out of it. And then that's when I went into the military and stuff. And it was a little bit of a different path of an approach, I would say.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. But at least that background, I think, really shows, you know, you definitely wanting to help people stay connected with their community.
Yeah.
And be more mobile and more active. And that's really what massage therapy does, get people back to their life again. There's just so many stories of people that I've treated that if I didn't do some kind of manual therapy with my hands and massage therapy and get their scar tissue mobilized again, get them moving, getting them moving again, and not just a group of exercises. It required that extra hands-on care to get them to go out and enjoy the community again.
Yeah. And yeah, I think that's a huge thing too, is just the hands-on care. I mean, just looking at traditional ways of like medicine, I guess, ways of healing, it doesn't always seem like physical touch is involved as much. And I feel like it definitely should be, because just like a touch for somebody, it's very healing for some reason. It's very calming to the body and it just relaxes people. It's good for the body, yeah.
It definitely is. And there's even, you know, they've done research with orphanages where infants, where they weren't being held enough, did not grow and mature properly. And so there is real science behind touch and being held. And I mean, as adults too, I mean, we need that in different, you know, it can be different, but our bodies do need a little bit of that and being, you know, in relationships. I think massage is a great way to just help with that extra healing component sometimes.
Yeah. And like in regards to like the orphanages, I remember reading a story, I think it was in the 70s. It was some regime that happened. So they were like overloaded. The orphanages were overloaded with kids, and there wasn't enough caretakers for them. So not enough of the kids got like human touch, affection, and they started developing like self-soothing rocking motions to actually cope with that. And then at a young age, it's so vital. So as those kids grew up, they started having behavioral issues. Their growth was stunted. They had started having digestion issues. Like it was huge, but they realized that this was actually like a problem because of human touch, them not getting human touch, because some of those kids actually had people that would come in for like 30 minutes a day and just give them like affection and touch. And those kids, like their problems within like 2 years was wiped out. Their like digestion problems, their anxiety, everything like that was erased because of that human touch. And the kids that didn't get it had long lasting issues. And it's just, it's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's interesting that, sometimes we know that like there is some science here.
Oh yeah. No, I find it really interesting, and it's not really brought out too much to the public that human touch is really healing for the body. Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely is. So is there any other personal story that you want to share as to what kind of got you into massage therapy?
So again, I lived in an adult foster care home, but it wasn't only my parents that had it. My grandparents and my aunt and uncle had an adult foster care home. So yeah, so my grandparents housed, I think it was special needs residents. And then my parents housed mainly elderly residents. And then my aunt and uncle housed just mentally handicapped residents. And I visited obviously every single one of them, and I would stay the night and stuff, just to hang out with like my cousins and stuff like that. But just like, again, growing up in that type of environment definitely molded me into helping people just in general. And then there was an older lady living down the road where I grew up, and she was like in her 90s, and I lived out in the country, so I was like a mile and a half away from her. And then she was kind of secluded, so I would actually go over to her place and actually help her take out the trash and stuff like that, just to do it, really, because I felt kind of bad. And I was young at the time. I was like 8, but I did that for a couple years just because I knew she didn't have anyone around to actually help take care of her. But I'd say that all started with just me being around people and seeing people in need and people that need help, and some of them weren't getting help that really helped me into this like helping career. But again, I went into trying to go into nursing. Like, nursing was my career path that I went into, and then it didn't really work out for me. I wasn't feeling it. So then I joined the military, which is the complete opposite thing of helping people out, especially since I went into a combat arms unit. So I was a Cav Scout. So I don't know if anybody knows what a Cav Scout is, but it's pretty much just like infantry and tanker, and we're right in the middle. That's what it is. But while I was in the military, I started seeing issues too as far as health goes. And it's just from like all the gear you have on your body constantly. There's a lot of people that were getting injured around me. And even while I was deployed, our mission had us on birds. So Chinooks, helicopters would fly us out to where we needed to go. But we had to get weighed before we got on the bird because they can only take a certain amount of people. They have to account for like the load carry, lifting up the bird.
Oh, absolutely. Stuff. Yeah, you don't want to get that wrong. Yeah.
Yeah, based on the altitude. But I came out to 257 pounds and I weigh 150 pounds. So that means I had 107 pounds of gear on my body every single time we went out on mission. And I'd be standing in this stuff for hours. And you can definitely see how it's taxing on your body. And I was only deployed once, and I know people that are deployed multiple times and they start having knee problems, ankle problems, shoulder problems. And I started realizing that after the military, after I wanted to get out, I wanted to get into a helping career. Like, I wanted to help people. I wanted to make sure, like, find a way that would kind of like heal the body, I guess, in a way, just because I was starting to realize that people just in general in their even day-to-day jobs, everybody seems to be living with pain. And I feel like we shouldn't have to live with pain. And that is a big thing, because it seems like as I was going through the military and just being in sports and stuff, I felt like I was in constant pain just somewhere throughout my life. And I felt like there was probably an issue with that. And I don't know, I guess massage is just like a way that I thought would help heal the body that wasn't just a traditional route.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right. People do. I can tell you this morning I had an evaluation with a lady and she's here for her shoulder and it's been hurting for a whole year. And I basically, well, you know, why did you wait so long? Well, I'm getting older and I just figured I had to live with it.
Yeah.
That's sort of the mentality that we run into a lot of times. And we can, a lot of times we have a little pain that creeps up and it's like, I can kind of get by with this, but it can get worse. And it sure did. And same with her hip. She's like, yeah, I have this other thing going on too. And we talk about that. And it's like, you know what? It's just tightness. You need some deep tissue work and some good stretching and you're going to be on your way. And so it was just, it's amazing to me the mindset that's out there of just, I'm getting older, I'm going to have pain, I'm going to just have to deal with it. And really, until you really try, you know, some of these things, you need to go ahead and actually be an advocate and find out, you know, let me try this deep tissue massage and therapy and see if I can function better. I mean, I certainly am not going to tell someone I can take away their arthritis, but I can certainly help with range of motion, like releasing the tightness around the area and help you move better and therefore get it, you know, stronger. And then you'll enjoy life better.
Yeah, and exactly. And that's one thing I find with massage is people who at least try it one time, they're at least getting their life involved into like the right pattern. And then massage leads to other things as far as like exercise, because once you get a massage, you become more aware of your body and you start noticing spots that like might be sore that you didn't really realize at first. And then you start having questions and stuff, and it kind of gets you involved in like just like exercising more and just being more involved in your body and what is causing these issues and like how you can help yourself kind of. Yeah.
Yes. Yep. So I think that's a great journey that you went on to get to where you are, and a great place to really be able to help people in a natural way. Because I get people all the time that, you know, they don't want to take pills. They don't want to have surgery. It's like, what are my alternatives? Well, massage is it's pretty low risk. There's not a lot that can go wrong.
Yeah. It is so very good.
Yeah. And as long as they give you feedback, you can adjust for them. So
exactly. It's each session is just kind of like tailored to the person, and anybody who like comes in and is unsure, especially if it's your first massage, because even before I went into massage school, I never had a massage at that point. I just knew I wanted to take a path that wouldn't involve, I guess, a lot of time in school, but I wanted a path that I could help people, and it wasn't a traditional route as far as like traditional medicine, because I just don't connect with that path really, and the way it's taught. Not that it's bad, it's just I wanted to take a different route.
Sure, yeah. Sure. I think you said there was a real influential massage therapist who wrote a book that you really, really liked. So I'm going to let you kind of segue into that a little bit.
Okay. So I'm going to quote a lot of stuff from a great massage therapist. His name is Mark F. Beck, and he wrote a book called Theory and Practice of Therapeutic Massage. He was a massage therapist in the 70s and published a book in 1988. And then he came into a skiing accident, which actually left him paralyzed from the neck down. But until then, he actually did like incredible work for massage and kind of brought massage into what it is today, at least what I think it is today, which is just like focusing on healing the body and injury treatment. Now, this book has been revised multiple times. And
sure.
Yeah. One of the quotes he does have in the book is that almost all healthy people occasionally have some physical condition that massage can improve. And when relieved, a client feels a renewed sense of well-being. No matter how well a client is, no matter how well a client is, a good massage can leave that person feeling even better. So, I mean, what do you take from that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's kind of, I think, what we were talking about at the beginning is we want to give people, massage therapy is that thing that might be missing to make you feel well in all aspects, not just physically, but even mentally, emotionally, and get back to your life that you haven't been able to do. But yeah, that it's kind of a renewed feeling afterwards.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter if you feel like you're an athletic person or you have an everyday job, massage in some way, shape, or form is going to benefit you in the long run. There's no negative effect. So massage is good to at least attempt, to try at least once, I would say.
Right. Yeah, the only negative I sometimes hear from people is that they're really sore. You know, they might...
Oh, yeah.
They might say something like, well, I felt like I got hit by a truck a little bit for a day or two. Well, you know, if you didn't hydrate real well afterwards... Yes, or if they didn't give feedback of like, okay, ease up a little bit. Because, you know, some people are kind of... They want to...
Quiet.
They don't always tell you, but yeah. And if they've never had one before, sometimes they just don't know what feedback to give. But for the most part, that's really the only, I don't know if you even want to call it a negative. There's just going to be some soreness when you find some really tight areas and you're trying to make it a therapeutic massage and gain some benefit there. Then there will be some expected soreness and just finding out what tolerance each person has is a bit of a...
Yeah, and I would say that even for a person coming in their first time, that as a massage therapist, that massage therapist should at least, like, should introduce you to massage in a very, like, soothing way, as they should be talking to you throughout the whole massage, especially if it is a therapeutic thing. It's a different story if it's just relaxation. You just want to relax, want your anxiety to go down, and you don't want any talking. But if it's therapeutic, if you're trying to get some like muscle release from it, I would definitely say talking should be incorporated with the massage, just because it helps some massage therapists know your body and then you know your pain tolerance as well. Just because like everybody is different, so you're not going to know how much pressure you can put on a certain person. So that's why it's always good to have that connection. And the massage therapist should definitely be the one to initiate that. You should both feel really comfortable in the massage session. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's equal feedback going back and forth.
Yeah. Both ways.
I think, you know, people don't always realize how much stress they're truly carrying. You know, every time I go get a massage, it's like, oh, I should have done this sooner. And, you know, finding where that tension is, and it does make me feel better. I can have a better posture afterwards.
Yes.
I think even in the literature, it's definitely, even at the, I went to the Mayo Clinic website just to see what they said about massage therapy. And it was one of those, like, this is a powerful tool to improve your well-being and to feel better. And it, you know, it definitely had a comment about it's no longer, massage therapy should no longer be considered a luxury or a spa.
Oh, yeah.
It's really something in your arsenal to use to feel better, to move better, to decrease pain. It was just interesting because I always liked to, that's kind of where I go to is look at the Mayo Clinic website. And then the other place to find research, if people are looking around, going to PubMed.gov. So PubMed.gov, is a good source for good articles. And it was amazing to just see all the different articles that talk about massage therapy brings down stress, anxiety, blood pressure, pain. And then there was even a ton on cancer and cancer patients getting their pain controlled with massage therapy. I mean, there's some variability on the stages of where they were in their cancer.
Yeah.
And the therapist would need to know that just to make sure they don't, you know, cause an undue fracture or something like that if they have some issues there, or, you know, if their skin is really fragile. And so there's some considerations there, but it was really interesting to see how much studies had been done on cancer patients with massage therapy and how helpful. And again, you get back to that human touch again, because those people, a lot of times, depending on what stage they're in, they're not getting out in the community as often, and they don't have a lot of, you know, they might have their close family and friends, but they're not being as social as they once were.
Yeah.
And so that touch factor, I just think that, you know, I can see where there's a lot of element of how massage probably does help with someone that has cancer in the more advanced stages even as well.
Yeah. And just, I guess just thinking about that, like off the top of my head, it kind of like resorts back to like that orphanage incident where those kids weren't getting touch and they kind of need it. And as you grow up, I feel like just in society today, like the boundaries that we set, like what is it, etiquette experts say that we should have 24 inches between us. That's a comfortable, safe boundary in the U.S. And we're not as social anymore as we used to be, especially with like social medias. We're always on our phones. We're like, you go into an elevator, if you see a person, you go to the exact opposite side of them and you look down and you don't talk to them at all. Same if you go on like a bus or something. You go up on that bus and you see an open seat, and if you pick the one that's farthest away from everybody, because it's just that I don't know. I really don't know why we grew into that, but it's just the case of where we are today. And I feel like it's affecting a lot of people now, and with like anxiety and stuff. And you can definitely tell how massage can like help heal, because I feel like we're supposed to have that touch. And for a lot of us, we're not getting that touch where we need it. And massage can actually just calm the body just in general. And I feel like with like the rise in anxiety and all this other stuff, that it's probably a neglect of touch. And massage is really powerful, just because we are one of the few like health career paths that can actually like touch another person.
Right.
And it's very powerful because of that.
Yeah. I'm surprised at the rise in anxiety in teens and young adults is skyrocketing, just more than likely because of all the social media and the, being on their phones and tablets and whatnot, and just being caught up in, oh, did I get any likes today on my page?
Oh yeah. It's huge. It's crazy.
Yeah. So it definitely, I would, it's interesting to the time we're in right now.
Yeah. And it seems like, just like the rise in anxiety just throughout everybody. It was kind of crazy. I did some research and it was showing that that married couples are outnumbered by single couples now. And I think that was like in 2016 was the first time that outnumbered married people in America. And it just shows that we're not actually getting that touch that we need. We're so separated from each other, and it's crazy. Even during the recession, single people was still on the rise compared to married couples. I don't know. I just find it interesting that we're still distancing ourselves away from each other, especially the more that we have social media, which seems like it should bring us closer. It feels like everything is just distancing us apart, and human touch is part of how we are grown up, how like everything is kind of grown up, like animals, us, like just getting nurtured with touch all the time. And then you go into your adulthood and it's just like, keep away from me, I don't want touch. And then you start having these anxiety problems and all these
mental health issues.
Yeah, mental health issues. And then I feel like that can play a huge factor in your physical body as well. You start getting tightness in your body, and then it's just trying to cope without having human touch. It's just, I feel like it's just your body trying to cope without having human touch. And I think massage is really healing for people. Yeah. Just the first time they get it.
Yeah. No, there's a lot of, it was interesting to read all the things that talked about with the anxiety and even blood pressure, like bringing someone's blood pressure down with massage. It's very calming. Anyway, so that I think is a great way for people to find out more about that. I think we can segue a little bit into what people would benefit from maintenance massage. Right. So there are certain kinds of people that I think, you know, in my experience as a physical therapist, my necks that have arthritis, and no matter how hard they try to keep their neck relaxed during the day, or what I've given them posture exercises to do. They want to go to the gym and do arm strengthening exercises, but they have a really hard time keeping their neck, their upper trapezius relaxed. And so a lot of them, I have to just tell them, look, we've definitely calmed things down. You feel like you're at 75 to 80% of where you want to be, but you are going to need to be on a maintenance massage program to keep this from flaring back up. I don't know why you tense up so easily there, but you do. The neck arthritis that you have is just another component that could be part of it. Yeah. It could just be that you're a tense person. It could just be your life, or, you know, but those people, I find those tension headaches and arthritis in the neck, they really do need to stay on a maintenance program. What are some other ones that you've noticed really benefit from being on a maintenance massage program?
Honestly, anyone. but I would say specifically anybody who is an athlete or in any type of sports activity. And
go ahead and elaborate on that, because I think people wonder, like, well, why is that? I'm working out, so my muscles are healthy and I stretch. So why do I need to massage? Because my comment to that is that the more you use muscles, they actually get tighter.
Oh yeah, they do.
And it's good that you're working them out, but they need recovery, and massage can help with that. But I think that's somewhat their mindset is like, well, I stretch and I foam roll and I work out. I don't have to, you know, so like figuring out how to explain to an athlete, like, yes, but there's certain things that you may not feel or notice that would keep you even better.
Yeah, just because, well, let me start off with saying that I massage a lot of rugby players, like a lot of rugby players. And you can definitely tell the difference between the ones I massage and the ones that I don't. I mean, it's just a small group of people, so it's not like a huge study, but you can definitely tell that the ones that I massage compared to the ones that I don't, it seems like they have less soreness, less pain in their body. And it seems like they perform better. I can't say that just
sure,
like specifically, but it just seems that way, that they're getting like injured less, I would say, from it. And I would say like a huge like thing, especially being an athlete growing up, I was a wrestler, and it seemed like the saying I always heard was pain is gain. Like if you're not in pain, like you're not gaining something. I feel like I took that and just like ran with it, because my body was always in pain. And I would say if you're an athlete and your body is always in pain, you should definitely look into like incorporating massage into your routine, because it should not be like that.
Right.
Your body should not always be in pain. And I feel like a lot of people I know, especially even in the military, kind of live by that. Like pain is gain. Like,
yeah,
like it just means you're human, you're alive. You probably shouldn't be in pain, because it's going to cause issues down the road. And massage can definitely like relieve that tension that you have in your body that you're holding. And I just say it's just overall just good for any athlete to actually get have a weekly massage routine incorporated into their just program. I would say athletes are just overall in general, just it seems like they're the most neglected almost, because they kind of have the stigmatism around them that because they are an athlete, they are healthy and they have a healthy body. And I feel like that causes a negative effect, because it seems like, hey, I'm working out all the time. Like I feel like I'm strong, but you're having this soreness that you can't really explain. And at least for me, it would have been nice if I would have knew about massage like right from the get-go, because I would have definitely got on a weekly routine, just because like my body started breaking down, specifically like in my shoulder area. And I feel like if massage would have had that, it would have told me like, hey, I like this is sore for some reason. It probably shouldn't be sore. And it helps like relieve that tension in those areas and increases the range of motion, which you want your body to be at like full range of motion. That's where your strongest is, when you're over like tight muscles are relaxed and they're not like shortening the other muscles and stuff, because your body is a system of levers. So it needs to be in a neutral state. And
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I tell people tightness, think of it as like some, if you think of a mechanical piece of equipment.
Yes.
And something's pulling on it and it's too tight, that's going to break down that equipment faster. It's the same thing with your joint. If you have something attaching there that's too tight, it's going to put more strain on that knee and you're going to have more knee pain because the hamstring is too tight attaching on the backside of it, or the calf or the quad.
Yeah.
So it's one of those, like I try to tell people and explain it in a way that they get it. But yeah, the athletes I think are definitely a good one for a maintenance program. They just don't always see it or realize it. Yeah, so that was a good way.
Especially until it's too late. That was my problem. Like I didn't realize it until my shoulder just gave out.
Oh
like,
yeah.
And it was a big issue. And then it was just like rehab from there, is just trying to get it back up to strength. And then I'm just having constant issues with it. And it would kind of been nice just to have like a massage routine or just somebody that let me know like, hey, yo, you might be having issues here. Like,
it's right.
Kind of nice to like relieve that tension.
Yeah. So besides athletes and the neck tension, headache, arthritis, what's another group that you kind of think of that comes to mind for maintenance?
Yep, this is easy. High stress jobs. Like any, well, honestly, and that can fall into any category, because if you're working 40 hours a week, 40 plus hours a week at anywhere, especially dealing with other people, your job is going to get stressful and it's going to start wearing on you. And I would definitely say that stress really like tightens up the body and it doesn't allow you to relax. So if I would say like a desk job, if you're working at a desk job, you probably have like a tight neck. Your lower body is really tight to your glute areas. You can start having pain in your wrists, your forearms and stuff. You can start getting like carpal tunnel and stuff like that. And massage, because I've massaged a couple state workers, somebody who works for like HR for the state patrol. And you can definitely tell from the start when I started massaging her to like even one session was kind of crazy. The difference in the tissues, like pliability, just the way it responded to me after just one session was kind of crazy. From one session to the next session, you can tell like she had a huge like release and relief. And it seemed like I asked her about like her work week, how that went. And the first time I asked her, it was just like all stressful talk. It was just like, oh, this happened. And it seemed like the next week it was just like, it wasn't so much focused on stress. It was just like what she did outside of work almost. And I felt like it almost gave her a different focus on her life, because she wasn't so honed into like all the negatives of work. So I think it's just a huge stress reliever, as well as just it relieves the tension in the muscles.
Yeah. Well,
the tension in the muscles can cause huge issues, because I mean, with her like wrist flexors and stuff, she was starting to describe like carpal tunnel syndrome with always typing. And then she started having tightness up in the chest area and around the neck too. So I think she was starting to get like a double impingement syndrome. So it was just like two places where nerve impingement was happening, and it started sending signals down her arm. And then we started working that, and especially around her neck, and we relieved it within like three sessions. So she never ever had that pain again, which was awesome. But it kind of shows you how like high stress jobs can do that, especially like state workers who are always like sitting at a desk and stuff like that.
Well, and it's in those same positions for hours and days and weeks and months. And so, cause I get that a lot of time when patients come in there and I ask about, well, tell me about your workstation setup and the posture you're in. And sometimes I need to make adjustments because they're just in bad positions at their workstation. The other issue is like, they're just always in that seated posture.
Yeah.
So getting them to make that connection that they need to get up and move, and then they need to participate in a stretching routine and potentially a maintenance massage program because it's cumulative trauma almost, like repetitive.
Repetitive.
It's being in that same position too much of your day. And they've done research where people who, you know, if you run in the morning and then you go work all day and you sit literally all day, you've kind of undone the benefit that you did in the morning.
Yes.
If you don't get up and move regularly and stretch.
Yeah, you need to stretch throughout your work day as well. That is huge.
Yeah, and to get people to realize that, because I think they think, well, I've had this job for 20 plus years and I've been able to get away with it. And that's kind of what I tell them. I'm like, until now.
Yeah.
it added up. It was the cumulative stress and the cumulative positioning that got them to where they had to come in and see me or their doctor and you know, like they finally got to a point where their body couldn't handle it and it needed to be released through massage and stretching and exercises and things. And then to get them to accept that they're going to have to get up every half an hour and do a few, it doesn't take long. It's a new habit that they're not used to.
Yeah. I would say a good thing to help with that too is maybe have a color that you place somewhere, like a sticky note that's like the color blue. And whenever you look at it, that's just a reminder like, hey, maybe I should stretch or maybe I should straighten out my back or something. Like it just gets you out of that repetitive pattern of just staying like hunched over, typing all day and just being stuck.
Yeah. Yep. Sitting is no good. Sedentary lifestyle is the number one thing that leads to arthritis.
Yep.
People think that arthritis is a natural consequence of aging. Yep. That's a total myth. It's completely, they've done research. It's out there. If you sit too much, you will get arthritis. So if you have a sedentary job, you've really got to find ways to get up and move. And I tell my patients, I'm like, fill a huge thing of water and put it by you and drink it and you'll have to get up.
Yeah. And I would say even just like the sedentary lifestyle is huge too, but even just like focusing on, I don't want to just focus on just like people who sit down.
Sure.
But people who do, again, like the repetitive movements, it was kind of interesting. I heard a study where they were focusing on construction workers and like people who build houses. And they're saying that ever since they added the nail gun, people were starting to have different issues instead of like shoulder problems from like using hammers and just smashing in nails. Now with the nail guns, they're only using their one finger and they're starting to have like a carpal tunnel issues now. It's just again, the repetitive movement based on how like our technology is evolving, like how we are like, I don't know. I just find it interesting that there's always issues like in our bodies based on like the different technology,
the movements that we're doing.
Yeah, the different repetitive movements. It doesn't matter like what movement you're doing. If you're doing it multiple times over and over and over again, there's gonna be some issues, and you should probably be on some type of like a stretching routine, massage, something like that to actually get the blood flowing throughout the body, because it's going to start locking down your muscles and they're not going to be able to do what they're supposed to do. And then they're going to start pulling on different muscles that aren't supposed to be pulled on. And then you're going to have issues.
Yeah. It creates an imbalance.
Yes. An imbalance.
Yeah. Any other group that you want to tackle for maintenance? Kind of got a couple there that are good.
Yeah, I don't know if anything else off the top of my head. Just in general, I think everybody would benefit from a maintenance massage. And once you start getting on a maintenance massage, I think you will start realizing that you just feel better throughout your day overall. I think people are happier. People get aren't very happy when they're in pain, and it seems like
nope.
Yeah, it seems like massage helps a lot of that. Natural pain, that tightness that you feel on your body. So I would say anybody really benefits from it.
Yeah. So I think another question that we can tackle, when you do massage therapy and you find that they're tight and limited with their movement, do you want to describe a little more on some techniques that help people get their range of motion back and kind of what you do and what maybe you might have them do on their own too after you work with them?
Okay, yeah. So just techniques that get the range of motion back. Okay, I guess I'll st- start off with what I do. there's a couple different things I do as far as like during the session. I always make sure, even if it's relaxation, I do some type of mobility to get their range of motion back. Again, that's just like a little joint manipulation, just moving the joint out as far as it can go, bringing it back. But well, there's actually like two I specifically really love doing. And one of them is called a pin and stretch. So I bring the muscle. So let's think of it. We'll do the hamstring. So I bring the leg as far back as it can go. I pin it down and then I lengthen it. And that pretty much, and then I do it multiple times going up the leg. And what that does, it just gets a deeper type of pressure to that specific area and just allows to stretch out like any tension within that area. Pretty much what it does is just increases the flexibility of that joint.
So it's like a movement with pressure.
Yeah.
And a stretch at the same time.
Yeah. And yeah, it feels incredibly good. Like the first time I had it done on me, I was like, holy cow, this is amazing.
Yeah. Like, where has this been all my life?
Yeah. No, that's the exact thing I said pretty much, is like, where has this been? Another thing that is really cool, it's called PNF stretch, or I guess neuromuscular stretch, where you bring somebody who's restricted in their movement, you'll bring a joint to their in range of motion, so as far as they can go without causing pain. And then you have them push into you for, I believe it's like 7 seconds, and then you lengthen it. And then right afterwards, the muscle will become relaxed because it's
pushed. Fatigued.
Yeah, it's becoming fatigued. It's like if you work out, you like curl a lot, and then you put that weight down, your muscle feels like relaxed. It feels like, hey, I need to like, you know, just relax. It'll allow you to push that joint to a further range of motion. So it just increases their overall range, especially in people who are like really restricted with their range of motion and feel like they can't get anywhere. If it's not like a structural issue as far as like the body, and it's just a muscular issue, you can definitely like stretch out a limb farther than it normally would be able to go. And that also feels really, really good.
Yeah. We call it, people call it different things, but like contract, relax.
Yeah. Oh yeah. The contract, relax. Yeah. Yeah. I was always taught like PNF, which is like proprioceptive neuromuscular facilitation.
That's yeah. What it was called. Yeah. Similar. So it definitely, I think patients are surprised because they're like, hey, you're tricking me. And I'm like, yeah, I kind of am. It's kind of cool. Yeah. You know? Cause you're fatiguing out one side of the joint to then let it drop into the other range of motion. Yes. So it's pretty neat. And then you can teach them how to do that sometimes with straps or like with the wall, or you can teach them some methods to do it a little bit on their own, or if they have a partner to do partner stretching with, yes, like they can. So that's pretty neat that you can, you know, yes, you do it in your session, but yet they can also figure out potentially a way to do some of that on their own, and they can get some more, even more stretching for themselves.
And I would say stretching just in general is really, I mean, it's just really good for you to actually maintain the benefits of massage as well. But again, I guess getting back into the technique, if they're going to do it on their own, I would definitely recommend like foam rolling. Foam rolling is huge. Just because it releases like any tension in the muscle. If there's like a tender point, you just place the foam roller on the tender point, hold it for like 30 seconds, and then just move up the muscle and just keep releasing that. And then that'll just allow the muscle to, when you do stretch, to lengthen to its full range of motion. So you're actually getting that deep stretch that you need.
Right. So just in case some of the listeners don't know, like the foam roll is a dense piece of foam. It's round. You can roll on it on the floor. There's all kinds of different sizes. Some come with bumps or ridges on it. We stock them here, and we show patients how to use it and give them pointers of like, okay, you know, there's some, you know, there's a learning curve on how to use it, but it definitely is very, very useful. And then there's the massage sticks too out there that have the ridges and bumps, and we stock one of those as well. So yeah, there's lots of tools out there for people to kind of enhance their benefit from massage and to help prep. So if they're going to do that, it sounds like you would say this too, like do that first and then go into your long stretches, because you're prepping, you know, the massage roller and massage stick, you're kind of prepping that area to be a little more pliable.
Yes.
And then you can go into your hamstring stretching or your quad and really get more flexibility of the whole length of the muscle.
Yeah, Yeah, exactly.
So it sounds like a good time to take a little break to hear from our sponsor. So we'll be right back.
And now a special offer from Penrose Physical Therapy. If you want to move better with less pain, then schedule a therapeutic massage with Hawk. Contact Penrose & Associates Physical Therapy for the low introductory price of $60, as those spots are filling up fast. Contact Penrose Physical Therapy at 360-456-1444 to schedule. This low price won't be around for long. Package specials and monthly memberships are also available. Penrose & Associates is also offering a free pain workshop on October 17th from 6 to 7 p.m. RSVP is required, so please register on our website. Follow us on Facebook or get on our email list to stay tuned in to our special offerings to help you stay pain-free and mobile.
All right, so we are back and we're just going to pick up with talking about how sometimes people don't always realize where their pain is at is actually coming from somewhere else.
Yes.
So talking a little bit about what we call referred pain and trigger points. So one story I like to tell is I often get people referred to me for TMJ. I do a lot of TMJ and neck work. And it's interesting. I had a lady this week even there where she didn't understand why she was even sent to therapy. And I would, when I touched along the TMJ jaw, there was no pain. But when I worked on some of the neck muscles, it caused the pain to go to her jaw.
Yep.
And it's just interesting how people don't always really, she wanted me to do it multiple times to confirm that that's where the pain was coming from. And so it's just one of those, people need to realize, like, even though you have pain in one area, we as providers, yourself included, look elsewhere. And I'm sure you have, you know, stories of that too. We're like, yep, that was from somewhere else. It's not where it's coming from.
Yeah. And I would say, like, the biggest one is definitely like the headaches, especially like the headaches behind the eyes that a lot of people get. Their pain might be behind the eyes, but once I start working like the back of the head or the neck, which is, I mean, the muscles are called like the occipitals or levator. Those spots hold a lot of tension, and that's what causes those headaches that you feel like pulsating behind your eyes. So that's where I usually work, and that's why it feels so good to a lot of people when they get those spots worked and they have tension released there, like their headaches will go away.
Yeah, if their headaches are truly from a tension headache, they often are surprised. I had one gal who she was putting heat on the side of her head on the temporal region because that's where her headache was. But really, when I tried to work on the backside, I could hardly, I had to be really, really light because it was sensitive. It's been tight for so long.
Yep.
And she had no idea that it was coming really from back there. So I told her, I'm like, okay, so from now on, you're heating it. Put the heat on the back of your neck and your side of your temporal region will feel better. You know? And so it was just interesting. People often, they ice or heat the actual spot that they're feeling the symptom. And sometimes they're correct, but sometimes it's coming from somewhere else.
Yeah. And that's kind of, that's where I feel like we're taught is like treat the problem like where it is. Like that's what we usually focus on. But this kind of idea, what are that trigger points have a referring pattern, like the problem is elsewhere. It's kind of weird to like wrap your head around at first. Like I didn't get it right away that like how could there be pain behind my eyes and the problem be in my neck? That makes no sense. And it's just the way the body is kind of designed. It kind of just is like wrapped together. It is really connected.
It is. And the nerves can innervate.
Yes.
That's where the nerve patterns travel. And, you know, same thing with the nerves that innervate certain organs internally.
Oh, yeah. That's why we don't have, that's why we don't internally have pain, like, in our organs. That's why it refers to, like, our shoulder and elsewhere. Like, I mean, I'm sure you know more specifics as far as, like, where pain might refer based on specific organs, but I know that our internal organs just don't have those normal
patterns. Right.
That's why when we feel pain, we're just like, wow, why does my shoulder hurt like crazy right now?
Right.
And it could be like an issue somewhere in the abdomen.
Yeah. Yeah. And like some people who get a heart attack, they don't actually feel chest pain. They feel shoulder and arm pain.
Yeah.
Right. So we can be kind of somewhat not always textbook, but they definitely tell you that it can be in your arm. And same thing with shoulder blade. If they have a shoulder blade area that's painful, well, that can be referred from a, you know, I can't remember, one of my patients, I think it was a gallbladder issue. And I mean, it wasn't a scapula problem. And and it was sort of one of those weird presentations where I was like, I don't think this is a physical therapy thing.
Yeah.
And sure enough, it wasn't.
Yeah.
So it is interesting how the body does that. So being aware, I mean, people just need to know like, all right, there might be something to this where it's a muscle area that's creating my pain from somewhere else.
Yeah. And I would say that, I don't know, it's kind of like segueing into a different thing, but that's kind of like nice to like, if you are getting a massage and like that pain isn't relieving it, then maybe you should go see like a doctor or somebody else. It's just a nice way to, I guess, protect yourself for like in case of like
something else
bigger that could be the problem. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, if anyone really wanted to dive into trigger points, there's the Trevelle's trigger point. Yeah. If you look up those images, I'm sure people know how to Google, right? Everybody does Dr. Google, right, folks?
Yeah.
finding Trevelle's trigger points is really helpful because I've had some patients that really, for whatever reason, they get trigger points in multiple places. And so they went to that. I think one of my patients even bought the book that had the pictures and the diagrams, and he would just...
That book is so awesome.
Yeah.
It's so freaking cool.
Yeah. So it would just helped him. He kind of had his own strategy for working on himself as well at home with some techniques, and that helped him really figure out some stuff. So it can be really helpful, and it really is, a great book, and it is real. And I think that's the other thing is sometimes people feel like, am I going crazy?
Because it's really not taught or brought out to the public. Really. I never heard about it until I went through massage school.
Right. And
for anybody who doesn't actually know who Janet Trevelle is, I know that she's a medical doctor. I'm not sure what she specialized in, but she was JFK's medical doctor. And then she mapped out all the common trigger points and where they might refer to in the body.
Like, yep. Yeah. Super helpful. Awesome. Yeah. I had a employee at one point where it was just kind of odd. She felt dizzy, felt like she was going to fall over, unbalanced and ringing in the ears. And it ended up being a trigger point in that sternocleidomastoid muscle.
Yeah.
That,
holy crap.
Yeah. That muscle, when it gets angry, it kind of does all kinds of crazy symptoms.
Yeah. Messes you up, the SCM. That thing is crazy.
Yeah. So whiplash people, you know, they get the ringing in the ears or the headaches and then the feeling off steady. And it's usually, of course, the medical doctors are going to probably order several tests first to rule out anything really bad. But oftentimes it ends up just being trigger points in that silly muscle.
Yeah. Because once you get into whiplash, your body starts guarding itself. And then that's when trigger points start arising, is because the muscle is actually, it's locking down itself to protect itself.
Yes.
And then you're starting to have trigger points within that muscle that is starting to cause all those crazy symptoms.
Yeah. It is interesting how our bodies, they want to help.
Yes.
So they tighten up because they don't want you to move, because if you move, it's going to hurt. So they tighten you up and lock you down, which then creates more pain and more trigger points and less motion. And you're just in this vicious cycle.
Yeah, because your body thinks you're dumb.
Yeah.
It's just like, okay, it's like they're not doing the correct job. Let me just lock this muscle down.
Yeah, it's trying to help, but in its efforts of trying to help, it actually kind of makes things worse. And recognizing that and letting someone help you slowly start to massage that area and stretch it and move it in a real gradual way.
Yes.
Then you actually see some success.
Yeah, especially with like injuries. It definitely has to be in a very gradual way, and you definitely need it because you don't want that muscle to lock itself down because it's just going to cause like circulation issues. You're going to have those trigger points from locking it down, and then you're going to have decreased mobility, and then your muscles are going to start like wasting away. It's just overall, it's just not good. And it's kind of funny though, because we just as people take the least path of resistance, like the thing that causes the least amount of pain. So if we do have like a shoulder issue, like for me, like I always like in the morning, if I slept on my shoulder, I wouldn't move it because it would be so painful to move it. And then it would just cause issues throughout the day. So I found out that moving it was actually helping it more because throughout the day it could like release and it can get the circulation it needed to. But it seems like the best thing to do is not move, but in reality, you need to mobilize those muscles. And if you're suffering from an injury, it's kind of hard to do that and you're very scared to do that. So coming in and getting a massage to actually have that tissue manually moved is really good and really healthy.
Right. Yeah. Well, and then just to find out, you know, that's what we're here for, is that they will give you guidance on how much stress you can do to it and when to do it so that you're not feeling like, am I going to create more damage?
Yes.
Yeah. So getting guidance when you need it, that's kind of what I tell people, is like, we're here for tune-ups, you know, like when you need a tune-up, we're here. You take a car in for a tune-up.
Yeah.
Well, why wouldn't you take your body in for a tune-up?
Yeah.
Isn't that a little more valuable than a car? That's kind of how I put it too. So that's a good way to segue into a little bit on scar tissue. I get lots of questions on scar tissue from people. You know, all of us have had injuries along the way. Some of us have had surgeries along the way. Yep. And being able to get that scar tissue mobilized, because you can't make the scar tissue. I have patients will say, well, you're gonna get rid of that scar tissue, right? And I'm like, it's there. And you needed it to scar down to heal. Your body had to go through that process. But we want to, the real key is keeping it mobile and that it doesn't bind up and cause lack of motion.
Yeah, because once the scar tissue starts binding up, it can cause, it gets stuck to like anything that's underneath it, especially if they're in certain areas, like on the abdomen and stuff, it can start causing like digestion issues and stuff, and that's what we don't want. So, and massage can actually help that like a lot. there's definitely, I know quite a bit of people that just think they have a scar and then it's just like, oh, that's it, like I just have this scar, and that's the last thing you want, because they can cause a lot of issues, and especially down the road you might have issues that just arise and it'll be just from the scar tissue just binding down stuff it shouldn't be binding down.
Right. Yeah. And I will get people that are, you know, months, years out later we can make some effect with that scarring even later on. But the real critical window is mobilizing it early so it doesn't have a chance to really bind down. You're more effective early on.
Yeah, you want it early on. And I guess depending on, I guess it will be depending on like when your doctor says you can actually like do something with it.
Sure, sure. Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
And then, but it's like you want to find out when that window is, and then you want to try to get into somewhere like massage or anything like that that can actually start mobilizing the tissue. And then there is techniques that we could always show you that you could do at home on yourself, because it's not just like coming in every once in a while. It's mainly keeping consistent with scar tissue during that healing process that you need it to, to be able to unbind itself.
I definitely show, if they can access the scar, I show them how to definitely mobilize it. Plus they need to desensitize it a little bit.
Yes.
And they need to kind of overcome their fear of that area and treat it more normal again. And so, you know, when it's time and that scar is closed up and you're not going to jeopardize the healing of it, that kind of thing. It's not open anymore. They can definitely start doing some mobility to it.
Yeah.
So, but I do get a lot of questions about scar tissue. I think that, and it's valid. It's a good one to ask, and to definitely, even years later, it's like, if you didn't get it worked on in the beginning and it's limiting your range of motion.
Yeah, because it definitely can.
Yeah, go ahead and get help with that.
Yes.
Because when you have limited range of motion in a joint, that is one of the leading causes of arthritis as well. So that sedentary issue and then like not moving and getting tighter and stiffer, the joint doesn't, if the joint doesn't go through its full range of motion, it can't get its full nutrition.
Yes.
So it'll degrade, which is what arthritis kind of is.
Yeah.
So, but that definitely that range of motion, people, I'm sure you've heard stuff like this too. Well, I'm just getting older, so I'm going to be stiffer and I won't move as well.
Yeah, it's just like, it's almost like that whole thing, like life is pain, like type of thing. Like it's supposed to hurt, just suck it up. But then you realize like, wow, this is really bad. This is going to suck.
Right. And it's, you know, the same thing with being stiff and getting older. It's, you have to do something about it versus just resign yourself to it. So
yes.
You may be, it's true, you're probably stiffer than a 15-year-old, but let's not make it that much worse. Let's optimize as much as we can. So getting that range of motion and protecting that and keeping that, I think the massage helps with that. And then someone implementing a good, solid stretching program.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
For people coming to massage, you know, what are some common fears that they might have or misconceptions or, you know, what are some things you can kind of alleviate for them or talk about?
I would say the biggest fear overall is probably just getting undressed. I think that's like the biggest fear most people is that they think that if they're going to get a massage, they will have to get fully undressed and be underneath sheets. And that is not true. A massage can be done while you are fully clothed, and it is just as effective. I mean, it won't involve any lotions, but you just change up your technique a little bit, and it's more about pressure than it is about putting lotion on. But you can still get your joints mobile, which is a huge thing. I think it's one of the most important things is the stretching part of a massage. I think that's huge because a lot of people don't stretch ever. And just getting that mobility and just getting that joint to full range of motion really causes a lot of release in a person. So if you're not comfortable getting a massage like unclothed, then you can definitely get a massage fully clothed and it should be perfectly fine. Another misconception I would say is that massage is only for relaxation. I think that's one of the biggest misconceptions is that's what I thought of when I was coming into massage was just like, am I just going to be doing relaxation massage? Like, I kind of want to help people get out of their pain, and that's what I want to focus on. So, yeah, massage can definitely be used as a way of maintenance, maintaining the body. We talked about that earlier in this little podcast. And so I got, what is it, maintenance and just injury treatment. Yeah, injury treatment. It can be used for healing as far as, like, if the body is suffering from an injury and you're trying to like recover from that injury, it can help mobilize the joint, which I would say honestly is the best thing about massage is the injury portion of it, at least for me, because I don't know. It's just getting people out of pain is just really powerful to me, like what I think. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the only other thing that sometimes I ran into is sometimes patients want, especially athletes, I think they want massage to work so much that a few that I've seen were doing massage, and it wasn't relieving their problem. And then at some point you do have to acknowledge like, all right, we need to also look at something else. So on the flip side of that, of just like, sometimes you can get to the point where like you think it's going to fix you and you keep going back. And it's like, you know what? We probably should look a little deeper. So, I mean, to me, that's another one where people need to just be aware, and you would be aware of that with the kind of clients that you've been used to. I mean, like rugby players, like, you know that like, okay, this isn't getting better the way we thought it was. Maybe there is actually something more here.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I would say just in general, massage is just like kind of like a good segue into it, just a healthier lifestyle too, just because like overall, if you do want a healthier lifestyle, you need to incorporate exercising, stretching regularly, and then just diet, nutrition and stuff. But massage incorporated with all of that, Well, that'd be amazing. I'm just thinking about that. Now I'm like, I'm missing a couple of those.
It would be it helps put it all together, basically.
It really does, especially if you want to get out of pain or just relieve some of that tension that you always feel like you have on your body.
Well, and if you relieve pain, you allow people to move better, which is what we're all about here at Penrose Physical Therapy, is getting people to move better and enjoy the South Sound. So, yes. I mean, it's one element of it. So I think to wrap up, we're going to ask you the rapid fire questions.
Right.
What is your favorite restaurant in the South Sound?
Okay. It's called Stack 571 Burger and Whiskey Bar in Olympia. And I'm a burger person. So, and that place has really good burgers.
So. Sweet. All right. Good place for burgers. All right. What is on your bucket list to do in the South Sound that you've not done yet?
Rock climbing.
All right.
I really want to rock climb.
You'll have to check out Cirque then. That will get you going. Cirque climbing. What is your favorite place or thing to do here in the South Sound outside that you would recommend everyone get out and do?
Probably the best things is just trails and hiking. But what I like to do is just kayaking.
Kayaking is fun. Yeah. And if you don't have a kayak,
you can always go to like Tugboat Annie's. That's where I go, and you can rent them, and then you can just go out on the lake.
Yeah. Yeah. No, perfect. What's your best tip for people to stay healthy and fit in the South Sound?
Definitely go on Google, search up some trails, and start hiking.
Yeah. Just enjoy the outdoors.
Yeah. Just enjoy the outdoors.
Yep. You might have to make friends with the rain and buy a rain jacket here, but
I know this place is beautiful. I love it.
Thank you for listening to the Stay Healthy South Sound podcast, brought to you by Penrose and Associates Physical Therapy. If you want some free tips to implement right away on various problems like knee pain, back pain, running injuries, and many more issues, then jump on over to penrosept.com and download the free report that fits your needs. You will receive helpful tips right away and have the choice to email in for further questions and set up a free phone consultation. You can reach us at 360-456-1444 and info@penrosept.com. You can stay connected with us at stayhealthysouthsound.com and subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you next time on the Stay Healthy South Sound podcast. That fits your needs. You will receive helpful tips right away and have the choice to email in for further questions and set up a free phone consultation. You can reach us at 360-456-1444.